Now it's time for Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party.
I spoke with Tracy Martin earlier this morning about horse trading and New Zealand First's position on the CPTPPA, but I asked first what she had been up to this week.
Well, actually, I went to Palmerston North. I spent all the day yesterday in Palmerston North, which was great. I love Palmerston North. It's a very flat place. And I went to the youth justice residence that is there. I'm actually spending the next 3 weeks, I'm going through as many youth justice residents as I can, as many remand homes, and visiting as many orangatamariki office sites inside our communities as I can to try and upskill my knowledge with regard to how orangatamariki actually services those young people and looks after those young people. So that was a great day yesterday. Really enjoyed it. A lot of interaction with some young people that have got some, you know, really big challenges in their lives. But I think there was some, well, there's certainly at the residence I visited, there was some great work going on there. So that's sort of more still trying to catch up after being, 4 weeks in the job now.
Yeah, so will you be continuing those sorts of visits?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Auckland on the 8th of December, I believe, going through some of the residents up there, and then I'm going to be in Whangarei a week after that, trying to get down to Rotorua, but I'm not sure I'll be able to do that before the beginning of the before the next year. So yeah, I'm going to continue to make sure I visit every residential facility and every remand home.
Mm. When do you guys go on break?
My understanding is that we're working all the way up to around the 22nd of December.
Okay.
And then I think we're coming back in the last week of January, which is, so that's, for me anyway, in the last 6 years, I haven't had to come back to Parliament prior to Waitangi Day. So I just think we've got so many pieces of legislation to push through to get the 100-day sort of deadline into legislation by the 4th of February, that we're working that far towards Christmas and then coming back earlier.
Can you explain this $37.5 million teacher shortage funding hole?
Sure. So Chris Hipkins, what he did was in question time used questions are divvied up in question time, right, between the political parties based on a proportional basis. And so like New Zealand First might get two primary questions in a sitting week, and we might get eight supplementary. So what a government tries to do with those questions is they try to use them to highlight good news or bring an issue to the attention of the public inside the House, right, to preempt the opposition, I suppose. So what Chris did was used one of their primary questions to highlight the fact that Nikki Kaye, as the previous Minister of Education, had announced an amount of funding that would encourage teachers back into the profession, particularly for Auckland. And I'm remembering off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure it was around providing funds that would support them to, say, move or pay rent or things like that. That what are the barriers to them being in Auckland? And what we found is that while the previous Minister of Education made the announcement, they didn't put any money there. So the announcement itself was probably worth about $38 million, and there is no $38 million in the budget to deliver the promise that they had made.
Right, so is the program still going ahead?
Well, therein lies the challenge, because the situation is still there. We still have a dire shortage of teachers in Auckland particularly, and we have to come up with a solution. Well, the Minister of Education, which is now Chris Hipkins, has to come up with a solution to that issue. But he hasn't, there are expectations that had been raised by the previous government, and there's no money to back up that expectation.
So there was a sort of false promise?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, you could say that.
And do
there was a promise made with no way to deliver it. That's probably the clearer way to put it.
Right, but isn't there an issue in that they perhaps would have capitalised on, you know, claiming that they were fixing this shortage?
Oh, yeah, well, that is the issue. I mean, it's one thing to go and out there and make promises. I mean, look, this is the National Party who keeps having a go at the Labor Party and New Zealand First about making promises that they can't pay for. And here we go, here's a perfect example of the pot calling the kettle black, I would have thought.
So how will Labor and New Zealand First fix the shortage?
Well, that's That's something that the Minister Hipkins is working on at the moment. It's probably best that I leave him to outline what his plans are.
So last week, an email was sent accidentally by the Greens to the press proposing a horse trade between policies. Given the tension is around the waka jumping policy, what does this mean for your relationship with the Greens?
Look, I think it was a mistake. It's a reasonable, what Goldrees actually suggested and what she was trying to suggest in-house to her own caucus. It's reasonable. It was an idea. She put it forward. It's not necessarily a dumb idea. They have the capacity to do that. So politically, it's not a shock horror. They hadn't made a decision to do it. It was just an idea that she was putting forward. The lesson there is be careful who you send your emails to, I think. And we all need to be really aware of that. So it's not, look, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a major deal. It hasn't affected the relationship at all. I saw Goldrees at the airport later that night, and she said, no, I'm staying far away from my email as possible at the moment. You know?
So, does that kind of negotiation happen quite often behind closed doors?
Well, I don't know, because this is the first, I mean, you know, I'm in a coalition with the Labor Party, and then the Labor Party has a supply and confidence agreement with the Greens, you see? So the relationship is actually between the Green Party and the Labor Party, not directly between New Zealand First and the Green Party. But let's get real. We're all, what the three parties are trying to do is to show New Zealand that a mature MMP environment is not dangerous to the country and that we can do better than a large party with a couple of tack-ons. So, as I say, I saw Goldrees. We made a joke about it. It's not affecting any relationship in any major way. And you know, it's an idea. Whether it will fly or not is a whole nother story.
Does this, with that, right, so with the idea that you've got a relationship, or you've got an agreement with the Labor Party and the Greens have the confidence in supply, and that means that they can be a little bit more flexible in whether they agree or disagree, does this mean that there are, you know, concessions that have to be made, particularly on your own policies that you're quite, you know, serious about?
Well, first of all, I think what the supply and confidence gives the Greens is the opportunity to publicly disagree, right? So therein lies the difference. You know, New Zealand First and Labor are sitting inside the cabinet. So where we have our negotiations, conversations, disagreements is inside the cabinet room. And once we leave that, where the decision's been made, we're all following the cabinet manual, we all understand that we leave there as a government. So what the Greens have got is the opportunity to disagree publicly. New Zealand First doesn't have that same opportunity predominantly. With regard to trading off on policies that are very important to us, we did that beforehand. So we have an understanding with the Labor Party. There were things that they wanted to get through that the negotiations stopped. There were things that we wanted to move on that the negotiations stopped. So, you know, that means in 3 years' time, it doesn't mean that those things won't come up for each individual party again. But we've agreed, made our agreements. We understand what are the major policy areas that we were unable to gain support for. And we've accepted those, and we're going to work inside the parameters we've got for the next 3 years.
Right. So last week, Todd McClay said New Zealand First will get in line when it comes to the CPTPPA. Is this true?
Well, first of all, Todd McClay wouldn't know the mind of New Zealand First if he fell over it, really. But the reality is that CPTPPA, and that is the Comprehensive and Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, is not the same agreement that National put before, well, they didn't even put it before us, that they signed us up to, or that they tried to sign us up to. So, and at this stage, nobody signed it. We have had discussions with the Labor Party about the parts that concerned us, and they were the same parts that concerned them. So, and when we finally, because nobody, that document is not, hasn't been finalised. And when that document is finalised, I think the difference that you'll find with this government is that we'll actually bring it back and show it to the New Zealand people so that they know what their government is thinking about signing them up for. Now, that's the big difference. We know what concerns the New Zealand public, and we've worked hard to change that.
So you're willing to bring it back and then negotiate and vote on it?
Well, nobody. Yeah, it has to be brought back and ratified. So it's all very well, you know, for people to, and I don't, as far as I'm aware, nobody signed it from New Zealand at this stage because it's not a complete document, particularly as Canada still has some issues around it. So even if somebody was to sign it overseas, they still have to bring it back to New Zealand to ratify. And from that perspective, this government has made a commitment to the New Zealand public that it would be an open and transparent process.
Now, you say it is a different document, but there are very minor changes to the particular concerns that we had. Isn't that an issue, that there's not enough change?
Well, the minor changes are to big things. Like, if you're talking about the ISDS, the minor changes to ISDS make a big difference. And it's probably not worth, well, it's not that it's not worth it, it's probably not a good idea for me to go into any more detail about the changes that have been made, because that's really for the Prime Minister or David Parker or the Right Honourable Winston Peters to talk about. But they might seem like little things, but they were the bits of sovereignty that we were concerned about. It's amazing what can happen if you tweak something slightly, what the downstream effect on being able to make your own laws is.
Right. You said last week, though, that that wasn't the only concern. There are other concerns. What will it look like for New Zealand First, who campaigned against it, if you did, you know, support it?
Well, Labour campaigned against it as well. So one of the reasons why, you know, apart from the fact that he's the Minister of Foreign Affairs, is one of the reasons why the Right Honourable Winston Peters was there as well, is that we shared the same concerns and voted against the TPP. Well, actually, I guess Labour didn't necessarily vote for against all the parts that we did, but we shared the same concerns. So you know, he was in that conversation. We've been in that conversation, There is still an opportunity further downstream, once we see what the final document looks like, which nobody's got yet, that the caucus will have another decision and we'll have to have a strong conversation about what we see in front of us.
Well, I look forward to talking about it then.
Okay.
Have a good day, Tracy.
Take care, Lily.
Thanks so much. Bye.
That was Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party. The Wire.